Hi, Run Your Story family. This is Allison Gilliard with Run Your Story, where every story needs to be heard. And what an extraordinary woman that I got to sit down with. I think the world of her. She's such an incredible athlete and just such an incredible perspective that she gives on running. And of course, she's a Blue Bell Bomber. And just, again, Sue Ann Whitespanner is just an extraordinary human being. Just absolutely love her. I say she's extraordinary because she name drops a lot in her story. And I think that that speaks volumes when someone says, all these people have helped me become who I am. Whether it's from her kids getting her back on the pavement, from when she first started running, to she even brings up Mr. Will Wright, who unfortunately passed away, and our running community is no longer the same. But Sue Ann brings such a beautiful story that she shares, and we actually recorded before all of this. So the fact that the timing could not be more perfect, and we're just so grateful for Sue Ann and for her heart and the love that she has for this community and the love she has for all of you. It is so evident. And she is competitive, but compassionate. And I think that that is so cool. And I was already a fan, but now I'm a bigger fan. And Sue Ann, you are just extraordinary. I just need you to know that. And thank you so much for sharing your story. Absolutely incredible, my friend. And keep chasing those goals. I have no doubt you're going to reach them. I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for your incredible story and the people who have played such an important role in your life. Absolutely incredible. And guys, speaking of playing roles in each other's lives, that is where Victory Health Partners comes in. They are fueling up our podcast this month, making sure you guys get to hear such beautiful stories like Sue Ann's. And Victory Health Partners, in case you guys don't know, is a nonprofit medical clinic. So a really cool medical clinic that I get to be a part of and just absolutely love. And it is to fill in the gap for those that do not have insurance from the ages of 19 to 64. And so if you're listening, you don't have health insurance, come see us at Victory. Or if you know somebody that doesn't have health insurance, tell them to come see us. We would love to be able to provide medical care. So I just am so grateful for what Victory does for our community. It's really getting to see the hands and feet of our community come together and take care of one another. Our doctors are incredible. We have nurse practitioners, we do x-rays, and we have labs, and we have specialty clinics that come. So once a week, dental comes, and pulmonology comes, and it's just so cool to see. There's also a food pantry that people donate to, and Feeding the Gulf Coast drops off. And so just so cool to be able to see all who come together and support one another. And whether you're an entrepreneur that doesn't have insurance or your job doesn't provide you insurance, Victory is a great place to come to get healthcare. And so, again, it's such a special place to me. I'm very honored to be part of the Victory Health family. But honestly, our goal is to be able to provide medical care. So whether it's you need that medication or you need something looked at, and we work with the community. We have such great specialty clinics. And after the podcast, I did thank Sue Ann because she's actually seen one of our patients at AOC. So I'm so grateful for that and that we have all those connections. And so it, again, it's just another extension of community and helping one another. And so definitely check out Victory Health Partners. You can follow them on social media, and you can also follow them on their website at Victory Health Partners. We would love to have you come volunteer as well. If you want to come take a tour with us. We'd love to show you what we do for the community. It's absolutely incredible. So huge shout out and thank you to Victory Health Partners for the dream that Dr. Lightfoot had, and that was to provide medical care for the uninsured. So truly a gift and truly grateful. All right, guys, lace up those running shoes, get ready, get set, and go run with my friend Sue Ann Whitespanner and her Run Your Story. Okay, I just want to go ahead and say this is what tenacity looks like, because I've been begging you for how long now to be on this podcast?
Oh, I don't know. We've been doing avoidance.
I used to be said to, hey, a lot, and then all of a sudden, no. Thank you so much for saying yes, finally, to this. I'm so excited. You just have no idea the influence that you are, and just such a cool runner in person for me. So
oh, I appreciate that. I don't feel that way, but
I'm here to tell you are.
Well, thank you.
So I am so excited because I don't know your run story.
Okay.
So how does it begin?
If you want to go back to the very earliest.
Okay.
I was in college and somebody talked me and a roommate into running, I think it was a 1 mile fun run.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school at the University of Florida. It was summer and it was hot. And all I can remember is we finished that run and we thought, I will never do this again.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes. It was not fun. Mm. I hated every minute of it and did not run for years. As a matter of fact, my feeling at the end of it was my children say that my sport is every other sport's punishment.
Wow.
So it did not enthrall me. Of course, a lot of it was probably, it was so hot.
Sure. That's
and
fair.
Good crowd and whatnot, mm-hmm. but we were like, nah, that wasn't good.
No good after party.
I don't even remember staying okay. for an after party.
I am done.
Right. We're out of here. This is terrible. Of course, that was about 1977.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I water skied. I was still active.
What? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I did a little local competition, but I've always water skied.
That's incredible. And
so that was my thing.
Okay.
And even had a friend one time asked me, they were doing triathlons, and their swimmer wasn't going to be able to make it. And he asked me if I would fill in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I can swim,
mm-hmm.
but I don't race. And he said, you're in the water all the time. And I said, yeah, if they throw the rope too far away from me, I tell them to try again. I'm not swimming. He's like, okay, never mind. So I didn't do that. So it was many years later that I got tripped up into running again. And it was with my youngest child.
Mm.
I don't remember how we ended up in it, but I think my oldest, who was about 12 at the time, wanted to run the Azalea Trail run with a friend. And my youngest did too, but he wasn't old enough to run it by himself.
Mm, okay.
He could have been, mm-hmm. now that I know more about it.
I gotcha.
But at the time, it was 2002, so it was the year after 9/11.
Mm.
Security was something, sure. and you just didn't have your children running around in strange areas.
Mm.
And so we ran Azalea Trail. The only option was a 10K. There was no 5K then. My total training was one lap around Cottage Hill Park to see if I remembered how to run. So we ran, walked. We actually did. I've got my book. I went back and retroactively filled in the book that I keep and have kept ever since. But we ran about an hour and 8 minutes walk run.
For your first 10K?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Keep in mind that I water skied. I was buff. I had a six pack and super muscles. And I found one muscle or the one group of muscles that water skiers don't use. And they're the ones that lift your toes up. And so I did a 10K when not having worked on those muscles. And for about 3 days, I had foot drop. I couldn't lift my toes up. But it got better.
Wow.
And I decided that I could do better than that, which seems to be the theme of my running history. So I did Azalea Trail a year later with a little bit of training, just missed breaking an hour.
Wow.
So I said, you can do better than that. So I ran Senior Bowl 10K, and I ran it in 57 minutes, thereabouts. And so I'd accomplished my goal. So I quit for a number of years.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I met my goal. I broke an hour. So some years later, I think 2007, my youngest child decided to quit football.
Mm.
He said he was going to get hurt. And the coach took him to the cross-country coach and says, I have a fast one for you.
Mm.
So he started running cross-country. And I would have to pick him up and whatnot. And I listened and learned some things from the coach and thought, I'm not just going to sit here while they're doing this. I'll learn some stuff and I'll do some running, need some exercise. And taking care of the kids was really getting in the way of my water skiing. Water skiing takes a lot of time.
Sure.
You got to have two people. You got to take the boat somewhere, mm-hmm. ski, take turns. You can't do it at the same time. and then you got to clean up the boat and come home. And it just was not fitting in my schedule. So I needed something else to entertain my brain or my body. And so I started running some while they were running. And then I talked to my friend that did the triathlon, and they were doing a one day a week meeting with some people to run. Unfortunately, it was the worst day of the week for my work schedule. So I would meet with them every time I could, but I would usually get there about the time they were finishing. So I would run one lap around the concrete at South Alabama. It was a half mile maybe. And then we'd go eat and drink a beer. Well, that wasn't working well. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to do some side training and train on my own. I didn't know anything about training. I did terrible things. I would come out of my house and run 1 mile as fast as I could. No warm up, nothing. And then I would turn around and I would run half of that distance or half a mile back towards the house, breathe again, and then I'd run 2/4. And then I'd go in the house, no cool down, nothing. But I did get faster.
You did.
I did. And the people that I started training with initially, we would have an informal competition. We divided the group into two teams, and we would pit even people against each other.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And it's all for fun.
Sure.
It's for fun. Mm-hmm. And we would have a bet on this, or at least a reward. And I brought my youngest son in, who's running cross country, as a ringer to run against the best guy in the group. And which he did for a while, until one day he asked me, what's the prize? And I said, the losing team has to cook dinner for the winning team. And he said, that's it? I said, well, you get boasting rights. He says, that's it. I'm done. I'm out.
Oh. You're like, but you get food.
Well, I was with a bunch of adults. He wasn't interested. I ran with them for a while, met other people at races. And it's just, it's grown. I've evolved with groups. I know Pat Hilliard from running, and he started taking me down to Heroes with the Bay Area runners. So on Mondays, I would run with them. Occasionally, I would go across the bay, but most of them live over there.
Okay.
And traffic, it just got gradually worse and worse, and so that wasn't working great.
Sure.
Still running more on my own. I started running the Mellow Mushroom Run. I would run it like it was a race every time. So, I'm still trying to push. I can do better. I can do better. Where do we go from there? We ran a variety of races. I ran my first half marathon in 2009. It was measured wrong, so I got to run long that day.
Oh, okay.
So I think the turnaround, what it did end up being, 13.5 miles. But that's okay. I wasn't breaking any records anyway. So I had a couple of groups I'm running with at this point. And I think it was, what race was it? It was in the summer. I think it was crime prevention. And I'm starting to get faster. And I think I got third grandmaster.
Wow.
And I'm standing around talking with people after party, and this little face appears in front of me. I don't mean in front of me. And she says, let me get a look at you. You're fast, aren't you? And it was Melanie Moore. Do you know Melanie? Okay. She was, she's had her knees replaced, but she was a super fast runner. When she was in the senior grandmaster category, she would frequently take the master.
Okay.
So she was ranked very high nationally even, and super fast. I could never beat her before her knees went bad. And she's 7 years older than me.
Wow.
Yeah, she was super good. I think I'd run about a 25 minute then, and she had said, I said I had a really good race for me, and she said she had a bad race for her, and she still ran like a 22, 23 minute race.
You're like, thanks.
Yeah, great. I said, I don't think you need to be watching out for me. We're good. But we ended up meeting, and she had a team for the First Light Marathon that they would run, and some of her ladies were getting older, not running, and she asked me if I would like to run a leg for them.
Okay.
And I thought, well, why not? New experience. And so she also invited me to start training where she trained, which is where Bluebell started.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so she was in part of that group.
Okay.
And I went started training with them, trained for the marathon, and she also helped a lot of records and still does state running records at various distances. And she decided that I was fast enough to break the 1 mile for my age. Okay, I've never run anything any close to that. But we started training, and I did. Matter of fact, I will never forget that particular race, every step of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Baldwin County at the Seeds Race, and it's a 1 mile fun run. And I can't remember if there were three or four of us that were going for the record. And I want to say it was four. One guy didn't have a pacer. Three of us had somebody to pace us. And Kenny Pfeiffer paced me. And I know they didn't have the gun go off. They were going to give those of us running for the record a little bit of a head start over the 1 mile fun run people.
Makes sense. There was a whole bunch of kids running the one mile fun run.
So Peggy Olive's up there, and she just says, go. Well, I can remember being on the line, and Samantha came up and wished me luck, and my adrenaline was just outrageous. And when Peggy says go, all the rest of them burst out and take off like ahead of me, and I come up running like I normally do, and I'm thinking, if that's what it takes, I am so screwed. Then Kenny looked back, because he's so much faster than I am, and he looked back and he's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be running with her. And he came back, and we were running, and this thing was, it had four turns, four left turns.
Okay.
So it was just a square.
Wow, okay.
And the first one is immediately right there. So we turn, and he comes back and gets me. And at the second turn, I remember him saying, relax. I must have had my shoulders probably up around my ears.
Sure.
And the adrenaline. So I relaxed. It was close to Mardi Gras. There were some beads on the ground. I remember a puddle that we had to go around. At the third turn, we almost crossed and had to correct that. Fourth turn, you can see the finish. And I am running. He peels off about halfway down and says, you got this. I don't know if I've got it by a little or by a lot. So I run for all I'm worth. And I cross the finish line, and I hit my Garmin, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh no, my Garmin didn't work. The Garmin said 7:02, and I had never broken more than like a 7:30. So I thought it messed up, but it was right.
I love that. That was your first thought.
Yeah, there's no way I ran that. So anyway, that was first state record.
Wow. How did that feel?
Oh, incredible.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good.
Wow.
And you take pictures of them because they go away. Unfortunately, people faster come back behind you and get them. But that's okay. I've still got a couple. And I ran, I think I got like six or seven of them. And I've got one mile state record left. The others have been stolen.
Wow.
But that's okay. That's Mary Trufant stole one of them one time. Talking about people avoiding you.
Right, yeah.
She was, she's like 6 years younger than me, five or six. And so it'd been a while since I'd made this record. And Maureen comes up to me. It was Joe Kane.
Okay.
So I'm working it. I'm not running it at all. And she comes over to me, and we finished the main race. That 1 mile is going to start soon. And she says, Mary Trufant's running the 1 mile for a state record. I said, oh, great. And she says, she just looked at me. I said, wait, how old is she? And she told me, and I'm sitting there counting on my fingers which ones I'd had and what I've lost. And I went and looked at her and said, it's my record, isn't it? She just nodded, yes. I'm like, all right, where is she?
I'm going to go trip her real quick.
And so I see her on the curb waiting, and I start walking for her, and she ducks. And she said, and I'm pointing at her, and she says, I have been avoiding you all day. And I said, I hear you're about to break my state record, because she is so much faster than I ever was. And I said, just for the record, I have a picture of it that can't be erased. and I can't think of anybody else I'd rather break it, so go for it.
Yeah. Oh.
And she did. She clobbered it.
Wow.
But I feel like I'm a good runner. There are some great runners, and she's one of them. Mm. She's very good.
Y'all are all on the elite status for me.
Well, I'm maybe on the lower end of it. Yeah. Not at all. There are a lot of things I could do to make me better, but it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
We can't do it all, right? But there are a lot of times I remind myself, you're not going to the Olympics. It's okay. Eat that pizza. Have a beer.
You pay to do this. The Olympics didn't pay for that.
That's right. That's right.
Those elites, they didn't pay their race entry. You did.
That's right.
I love that.
What else did we do? Here I am training with the Bombers. The first time, I think, it wasn't the very first time, but very early in running with them, they would run 10 miles every week and as a group. And they would, it wasn't supposed to be super fast, but they would talk nonstop. And I'm trying to run with them. and do you know Bill Brady?
I know the name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's been with them forever. Mm-hmm. And he looks, he's pretty quiet. And he says, "You sure are quiet." I said, "Well, you know y'all are running almost my race pace, right?" This was their chit-chat speed.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. But they taught me a lot and got faster and a lot of fun. But we've done, as a group, we have done relay races. I think Keith probably talked about that. Keith Evans talked about some of the relay races. Mm. I have not done the bad one and won't. I don't want to come out injured. They all came out injured with that one.
Wow.
Yeah, Blue Ridge. But we did two in Georgia and then two from New Orleans to Pensacola.
Wow.
And had adventures, a lot of stories, a lot of fun. And we went, we did train. We ran hills. The Dollar General stuff, we started that long before it was a thing because we were training for these relay events. And Georgia's very hilly.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. But we lost a girl. We did find her. I wrote our phone numbers on the back of her bib, and she stopped somebody. She made a wrong turn.
Oh.
So there she is in the middle of Georgia, I'm talking rural Georgia, running down the road in shorts and a sports bra, no other top, got a race number on her, and she's going where no other runner has ever gone.
Wow.
So people are probably thinking, what in the world's going on here?
Wow.
But she flagged somebody down when a dog decided to run with her, and it scared her.
Sure.
And they called and said, "Hey, we have Tammy." And I'm like, great, because she's lost. Where is she? She's not where she's supposed to be.
Wow.
So we found her. Mm. And then we learned we're going to have to keep somebody following closer with the runners so nobody else gets lost.
Sure.
And we had gone, usually you have 12 people when you do these. We went with 9. Mm. And with 6, the guys had 6. But you stay in one vehicle, and you take turns with 9. You've got to have 2 vehicles, so you've got 2 drivers, 2 navigators, and a runner. That only leaves 4 people not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So it was basically the same as what the guys did. We just didn't quite get the mileage there.
Wow. But
it was still fun.
Yeah.
We went back and did it again after that. Once again, we can do better than that, right?
Oh, wow.
So we keep learning from it. But I did learn that I like getting very organized and maybe too organized because we had a lot more stories from the first one where things went wrong and a lot more laughs. So that was good. What was my next step? I started training with the Bombers, 2011? And that's when I really started getting fast. It's also when I met Will Wright for the first time.
Oh, wow, well, yeah.
And I was getting to the point where I was about running his pace. So one race I decided I would pace off of him and see if I could stick with him. Mm. And I did. And actually, I'm a lot younger, outkicked him at the end, which I'm at least 21, 22 years younger than he is.
Okay.
You're going to have more kick. The older you get, the less you got with that. But I turned around to thank him after we came through. And I told him my name because there was no reason for him to know my name. And he told me his name, and I laughed. I said, oh, I know who you are. You're famous. And he is.
Yeah.
He's so famous. As a matter of fact, I would like to comment that I heard from a church member of his that he's not doing very well right now. I think the blood problem is bothering him. So we need to say some prayers.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. He's so iconic here in our city.
He has done so many races, internationally, marathons, and so forth. And I do remember, if you look back at his times, they are absolutely incredible. And I was by the race result board, and Paul Baswell was there. You know who he is? Well, he's 70, maybe a little more. And he's lean as he can be. He's not very tall. And he's got a beard.
Okay.
You would probably recognize him.
Yeah.
But Will was standing there, and Paul's there. And Paul told Will, he said, I always look to see what your time was when you were my age, and I still can't beat it.
Wow.
And he's very fast.
Yeah.
But really puts it into perspective.
Sure. Yet
Will, in spite of getting slower, and continues not only to push himself, but he's also such an inspiration.
Oh, so good.
For all of us. And one time, he would always ask me after a race, he'd say, how did you do? And as I was getting faster, they were like, I think I've got it's four races in a row that I made a new PR. And it was only by a few seconds each time, but he'd say, how'd you do? I'd say, I PR'd. And after the fourth one, he says, you know you're not going to do that forever, right? I do know that.
But for right now.
I know how this works, but I'm enjoying it now.
Exactly.
But he's always been just great. Good people. And that's the nice thing about running is there are so many good people. I don't really know a bad runner. They encourage each other.
Yes.
You give each other tips, even if they're on an opposing team.
Yeah.
You know, best tangent runs. We talk about things like you do here, nutrition, all this. We did the, which one was it? Holiday Half. And I was running with a fellow bomber who was training for her first marathon. So we were running her pace. It was a slower pace for me, so I could talk. And Marion Lofton came up. And I did a little blog with her right there. I'm sure she didn't appreciate it. Because I was quizzing her on her training and how many miles a week and what's her nutrition and this and that and the other for the marathon.
Yeah.
Trying to get some tips because she's quite an inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely.
She ran her 100th marathon was New Orleans Rock and Roll, and it was my first.
Oh, wow.
We had a little sign made for her and stuff. But she ended up leaving us. We ran as a group. I think there were about five of us. And she said she would do it. But at about mile, I don't know, 17, 18, we were starting to peter out. And she was just hitting her best pace. And so she left us. Yeah. And she's 12 years older than I am. Yeah, so she's a beast, as I call her.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she ended up, there was an out and back area. And she passed us going the other way. And I'm like, go on, you bad beast self. And I think she beat us by about 10 minutes or something ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a lot of people that inspire me. That she and I duke it out frequently. And she'll smile and say, I'm like, you almost killed me. And she'll smile and say, you could have let me beat you.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, I can't let you beat me. You might beat me, but I can't let you. And here she is, 12 years older than I am.
I was about to say, she's probably saying respect your elders.
Well, no. She's very competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
So it's good. I don't mind having her be the one challenging me.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. So running the marathon was something that I always said I would never do. That those people were crazy.
Okay. And how many have you done for the record?
Five. So not that many.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But
you've
really
still
not that
done
many.
Something you said you'd never do.
Right.
Five times.
Yes. That's because I ran the first one because I was starting to get slower. I had my thyroid taken out. I had a little thyroid cancer. It turned out I probably could have kept it because they discovered later you could live with this version of thyroid cancer and it probably wouldn't kill you. But I ended up with a little scar tissue And it's changed my breathing some so that I can't get quite as good of a deep breath when I'm going fast. So my 5K times have really suffered, which is fine. But I started running and enjoying longer runs. And I said, well, if I can't run fast, let's see how long you can run. And so it changed the thought on the marathon. I thought, well, let's see what this beast is. So before I committed, I ran some back with the Bay Area runners. They run a lot of marathons. And I did some long runs with them, and I got up to 18 miles. And I said, well, if I can run 18, I can do it.
Sure.
I can finish this. So we signed up for a marathon, did some training. And that was really when I had the thyroid taken out at that point. So it changed. And I did okay. Wasn't upset with my time. But once again, I can do better than that. So what did we do? We do the next year. I think we did. We did rock and roll again. And look, that's why I keep records. I can't remember. What was it, 16? And I keep a lot of records.
I see that. I see that.
All right, so that was the first one. Matter of fact, I sprinted to the finish so I could break 4:45. I was a 4:44:59.
Wow.
So they're probably thinking, what idiot is running, sprinting at the end of a marathon? But that was my goal. The next one I did, I ran a 4:36. That was okay.
Yeah.
That was all right. Had a stress injury the next year. I had to back off the running. I had a little stress fracture in my ankle. But then I came back, was doing better. I was supposed to run my third marathon, which would have been the Louisiana Marathon.
Okay.
That's when I got the stress injury, right before we were going to start training. So by the time the marathon came around, my ankle was fine, and I was back to running, but I was nowhere trained to do the marathon. But my good running buddy Maureen was. So my husband, her husband, and I went as course support.
Oh, that's amazing.
And we had a really good time. I went to the start and took her clothes. It was cold. It was right at freezing when it started. But I took some of her clothes and told her where we'd be so she could dump some more off. And I was in snow skiing clothes. It was cold. And I knew I wasn't going to be around and do anything. But
yeah.
I did have running shoes on, but once she started, I knew I had to get back to the car so that we would be able to get to the first spot. So I am running down the road for all I'm worth in snow gear. And all these runners are looking at me like, what? I'm only going a quarter mile. So we did that. And we did, there's that out and back part. This like mile 15 and on around to, and we knew we had time between seeing her. So we went off and had breakfast, nice meal. I'm like, I kind of like running marathons this way. This is good.
Set me up for course support.
Right. She qualified for Boston that year. The next year, I'm helping her train for Boston and realized that I was hitting times pretty well. So I looked up and found this race outside of Chicago. It was the BQ.2, which is really set up to qualify for Boston. And signed up for it last minute and went up there. And I was also going to go over and watch her run Boston. And ended up, I beat the qualifying time, but not by much, but it was about what I thought I could do. And so I was happy. And then we flew over to Boston to watch her. But 2 weeks before that, she had her dog jumped into her, broke the tip off of her fibula, and she didn't get to run. So she watched the race with us.
Oh, wow.
So expensive trip, but we still had a good time.
Yeah.
So I got to watch some of our local runners come in with it. Since then, she has run Boston. I went to Houston last year, beat the time by more, but still second time didn't make the cut. And this year with Louisiana, beat the time I have to qualify with by almost 11 minutes. So we will see. Hopefully I will get there.
Not to mention, you weren't feeling well that day.
The day before.
Yeah.
The day that day when I woke up, I was okay.
Okay.
I didn't know which way I was going to go.
Sure, yeah.
And I had been exposed to COVID like 2 days before. And I'm like, oh, patients came in that I got there. I thought I was getting the report from their motor vehicle accident ER visit. And they didn't send me that one. They sent the one from the day before where they got diagnosed with COVID, and then they came to my office. And I'm like, no.
Oh, wow.
I've had COVID. It wasn't bad for me, but I didn't want to have it for the marathon.
Right, yeah. It's a long 26.2 miles with COVID.
So I probably wouldn't have made it. But that morning I woke up. I thought, I'm good. I'm fine. Wow. So.
And it was a beautiful day for a run. Oh,
it was perfect. Mm-hmm. The weather, a little cooler would have been okay, but it was fine.
It heated up, didn't it?
It got 60s, which preferably in the 50s for something like that is a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was tired at the end. Mm-hmm. I remember coming up that last, the hill.
At
mile 25.
Oh, that bridge. Yeah.
And I wasn't worried about going up. Mm. I use my quads a lot when I run for whatever reason. Okay. That's one of those things that I could probably do a lot of gait analysis and get even better. But I don't seem to do that for whatever reason. But my quads are what fatigue. Mm. You don't use your quads going uphill.
Yeah, yeah.
You use them going downhill. Mm. And so the whole going up the hill, you're talking about a question. One of the questions is mantras. Going up hills is power up. Power up. So I get to the top, and I guess he was a photographer. I don't know what he was doing. I was up there, and he says, "How do you look so fresh?" And I'm like, "I'm not."
I'm powering up.
Hey, I'm dreading this downhill because my quads are killing me. So I made it through the downhill, and I went, okay, 1 mile to go, and it is flat. So I got there, but I was sore. I need to do some more cross training and some weights and things would make me even better. We should make all of us better.
Oh, 100%.
There are definitely things I could do to improve on what I do. Okay, so I should be very grateful that I get what results I do.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And you qualified for Boston.
I have qualified. And hopefully we'll make the cut this time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So one thing I have learned in all of this is that you think you're going to make your goal and then you're good, right? Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. My early races with the Bay Area Runners was hot trot at the beach.
Okay.
So they give these nice cups, like I don't have enough cups, right? That are their coffee mugs, the prize.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got fourth in my age group. I got a ribbon. Oh. And I was like, that's not going to do. I need to do this again. I need a cup. Hey, runners and their trinkets, right?
That's right.
I need that cup. I need this medal. But it keeps you going, and it's fun. You have to laugh about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolutely ridiculous that you want to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in the house again and held up a cup and said, "Look what I won." My husband, he's like, "Great." So I redid my kitchen last year, all the cabinets and everything. So we cleaned out and had all these cups. And I found a shelf that I put in my bar area that I'm not a decorator, but I have somebody that helps me with that. And she put a lot of my cups and some of the other things of places we've been set out nicely.
Aw, that's so cool. So
they can be used.
Yeah. You know,
but for the most part, they're decoration.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it seems silly to keep them all in cabinet.
Yeah, show those big bad boys
that's
off.
That's right.
So obviously you've talked a lot about always trying to do better from that previous race. Yeah. So what are some other lessons that you've learned from running?
I don't know that it's always running because I've always been very driven. Mm. And so this just matches my personality. Mm. But it's perseverance.
Ooh, that's good.
Even if it's the long time perseverance in training, like marathon training is usually about 4 months of really trying to stick with the program, or perseverance in a race. Don't give up. Mm. I use the Garmin for two things. One is to not get too fast at the beginning because everybody comes out too fast. And I want to settle into what race pace I know I can do. That's one thing Will Wright is famous for saying is run your race. Mm. So you need to know what you're trained to do because negative splits are always helpful. Mm-hmm. And if you start out too fast, you will end up ultimately doing worse. Mm. So the Garmin helps me settle in with that. The other is when I'm getting tired, I can look at it and play little mind games on myself of, you only have X far to go.
Ooh.
So persevere.
Mm.
Keep going. Don't stop. And that's always a good life lesson.
Yeah.
And even if you have a bad race, mm-hmm. and I can't say I've ever had a terrible race, one that I walked away going, that was, other than the one that my shoes got untied twice.
Oh,
I forgot
okay.
about that one. Yeah, that one wasn't great. But I would love to run the time that I ran that day at now. But it was a 2-mile race, and I had to stop and tie my shoes twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just kept coming untied.
Yeah. It was new shoes, mm-hmm. new laces.
Okay.
And they just didn't, even the double knot, it was like, why?
No kidding.
But I had run with those shoes Bushwhacker race in Pensacola. And I think I must have gotten some sand or something slick on them. Because I had run with them okay. that race.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the same time. And I think that was what it was. I just gotten something on the shoelaces. So it That's just happened.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So perseverance. But, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still persevered in that race. Wasn't terrible.
That's right. What has been your favorite race that you look back and you're like, man, I can't wait to do that race again?
The one thing that I've learned is this is just an evolving process.
Mm.
I can't say that I've had a favorite.
Okay.
A lot of great memories. The ones where you get the first state record big. I did a 2-mile for a state record and Victor Birch paced me. And I got about 1.5 miles into it, and I started getting tunnel vision, and my breathing was wrong, and I knew you need to get some cleansing breaths. So I pulled up and walked mm-hmm. in a 2-mile race mm-hmm. for a state record. And Victor looked back. I'll never forget the look on his face. It was like, are you kidding? What's wrong? And I just motioned to him to keep going, mm-hmm. keep the pace, so I know where I've got to be.
Mm-hmm.
Got 3 breaths, my vision came back, all was good, and I took off running. I had an 800 to go.
Wow.
And I made the state record.
Look at that.
And I kidded him forever. I said, don't you hate it that women can walk in a state record for 2 miles and still get it? So, and she said, nah, that's not fair.
Let's go into routine. What okay. does your pre-race routine look like?
I get up early.
Okay.
I've always been an early riser. I do not ever show up for a race right before it starts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's hot, I will get a glass of water at least 2 hours before the race.
Mm-hmm.
If I wait any closer to the race, I will pee on
myself.
That's
right, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually eat. I found early, and things, your body evolves.
Sure.
Okay, it mm-hmm. adapts. I don't feel the same way now running a 5K, but when I first started, I would get about halfway through the run, and I was so hungry, I thought I would want to bite the arm of the guy next to me. You know? I was starving. You know that hangry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hangry. And
you're like, forget the ribbon, give me a burger.
Yeah, but I actually would eat a piece of bread going to the start line.
Okay.
Now, I don't do that anymore. I don't need it. Things evolve sure. over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn new tricks
mm-hmm.
and you learn what your body needs to do. If it's a longer run, I will have like a bowl of oatmeal. Generally do have my cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
If it's any longer, I may add a half a banana.
Okay.
If it's a marathon, it's going to be a half a bagel with peanut butter plus mm-hmm. all that other.
Mm.
But I do it all reasonably early.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will show up at the race site 1 hour before
okay.
the race.
Mm-hmm.
I like to walk around some, even if it's just getting your race number and whatnot. I'll chit-chat a little bit. But there is some science behind it that walking actually not only lubricates the cartilage, but it helps the cartilage take in fluid.
Mm.
And so it makes it healthier, so less chance of getting arthritis.
Mm, okay.
So I take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And I walk, and then I will generally warm up 1 mile, maybe 1.5 miles. Or if we're doing a long run that day and the race just happens to be part of it, mm. even longer. Mm. But 1 mile's usually enough. Usually just enough to make you sweat
okay.
is okay.
Okay.
And not at a fast pace, mm-hmm. at a slow pace. And then 15 minutes before the race, I like to go to the bathroom. And I will take a goo. And goo's still my favorite. Mm-hmm. I know there's some others everybody says are even better for you, but mm-hmm. I like goo.
Okay.
And I used to do a couple of the beans, and some of this I just dropped off. Mm-hmm. Longer runs, I actually carry a small water container that's hooked onto my hand. And I put Ucan in it. I have discovered Ucan a couple of years ago, and I do like it. So that's about all I do for the pre-routine.
Okay. So now you cross the finish line. Mm-hmm. What does your post-race routine celebration look like?
Where's the beer?
Yeah. That's fair.
Sometimes I will go do a cool down.
Okay.
Usually if we have to do extra mileage that day, if we're running on a plan and it just happens that the race is in the middle of it, which now that we're running longer races tends to be more often than not.
Sure.
Now I'll eat whatever they've got around. It may be a banana, it may be pizza or whatever. I'm a grazer. and I'm not super picky about what it is. No, I'm not quite the health nut. And I don't drink a lot of beer most times, but I do like a beer after a run, and particularly if it's hot.
Is there a food that you're like, oh man, I can't wait to eat this after I get done running?
Pizza's always good.
There we go.
Pizza's good. Okay. Yeah, if they've got pizza, I'm eating pizza.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My go-to carb is potatoes. I'm a potato lover.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we're getting where I'm training long, my husband just keeps bringing in potatoes, and I'll bake potatoes. So I can do that.
Yeah.
Before the marathon, we had a steak and mashed potatoes.
Ooh,
and some
okay.
broccoli.
There we go.
Maureen eats a lot healthier than I do.
Y'all are a trip together.
I read Bill Rogers. Bill Rogers won Mayor of Boston and New York and whatnot. And he's in his 70s now. But he had a book and I read it, and he talked about he was basically a scavenger, and he would eat whatever was available, including pizza, and he'd put mayonnaise on it. And
oh no, for real?
For real.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, there we go. That's my diet.
No. I can do pizza. I don't know
if
I
don't
eat
the mayo on it, but I do like mayonnaise. I haven't tried that actually. Might like it.
Oh, okay. Man.
It's not much different than butter.
Okay, let's talk about what is a running item that you will not go running without.
Clothes.
Okay.
Now, that's kind of evolved too. There's no one item that I want. Oh, I've got another funny story. Way back when. I don't know if I'll find the year, but when I first started running, I ran with music, ear pods, because I did not like to hear myself breathe. Now I want to hear myself breathe because I can gauge what I'm doing better. But at the time, it sounded terrible, so I didn't. And again, I was getting faster. And one of the guys said he was going to run this race in Satsuma.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I'll go do that. And it was a little race. It was a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Kids are sleeping in. I need to go run a race. I get up there, and it's a small crowd. And the gun goes off, and we start, and there's 10 guys ahead of me, and I'm next. And I thought, huh, you're first female. And so I keep running, and I get to the 2 mile, and this photographer lady's there, and she said, first female. So it's confirmed, I'm first female. Mm-hmm. The guys are way ahead of me. Mm-hmm. I can't see them. And I've got my music, and I'm running, and all is good. And I make the last turn, and it's still another half mile to the finish.
Okay.
And I get far enough past the turn that I can glance over my shoulder and see, and sure enough, there's second female. And I thought, do you drop the music so you can hear? And you've got a pretty good lead on her. Or do you just run? And I thought, if you fiddle with the music, you may mess up. Just run. Just run. So I'm running, and I get about, I don't know, 0.1 miles from the finish, and there she is on my shoulder. Now she's had to burn up some stuff catching up with
me.
And I glanced and I thought, oh hell no. And I had been doing some training with guys that train football players, and they had taught you how to do sprints. So I turned my arms and I sprinted into the finish and got first female. And it turns out that second female was Maureen. I didn't know her at the time.
Stop it.
Seriously.
Stop it.
And I have always teased her for making me cuss at the Footsteps for Jesus race.
Oh, that's such a great story.
So, and we didn't even meet that day. We met later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh.
Small world.
Absolutely.
Small world. In all fairness, she was trying to keep her husband healthy and was eating a vegan diet at the time. And we later met, and I took her to start training with us at the Bombers.
Mm.
And she was frustrated because she had been faster mm-hmm. and wasn't able to hold what she was doing. So she ended up, even with the training with us, she just wasn't getting there. And she went to a dietitian, and he showed him our plan for the day, which was a pretty intense day. Mm-hmm. And he said, "So why don't you eat meat? Because if you want to do that, you need to eat meat." So mm-hmm. she started eating meat, and I've never been able to keep up with her since
wow.
then.
So you're like, so go back to being vegan.
Yeah, yeah. Stop eating that meat. It's bad for you.
That's a wow.
Yeah. So to do what we do,
mm-hmm.
if you're just piddling around the house, sure, be a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Got no problem with it. But if you want to do what we do, it's hard mm-hmm. to keep enough protein in you.
Sure. Yeah.
To do that training.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in your profession, because for those that don't know, you're an orthopedic surgeon. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have seen injuries come in from runners and have to have this conversation with them.
Certainly we see a lot of people with overused mm-hmm. injuries
mm-hmm.
with runners, and we'll go into, and to be honest with you, I don't feel that I'm an expert in that area. Most of what I did was upper extremity, and most of the runner injuries are lower.
Right, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the things you learn is that, like your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep them fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. They wear out. Mm-hmm. You can't run in the same shoes forever. Mm-hmm. And a great way to get stress injuries is to run in shoes that have lost their life.
Mm.
And the shoe for you is not necessarily the shoe for me.
Ooh, can we get that? Can you say that louder for the people in the back?
That shoes have to fit you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I had run in certain shoes, and I got a stress injury very mm-hmm. early in running. And that's not that unusual. You've got to listen to your body and let the bones build to the amount of stress that you're putting on mm-hmm. them. Bones mm-hmm. are alive.
Yeah.
We always hear about the marchers' injuries with the GIs.
Mm-hmm.
They start doing a lot more activity than what they're used to doing. And the bones recognize that.
Mm.
The first thing they do is they take away some bones so that they can build it back stronger.
Mm.
And if you keep pushing through that time, you'll get a stress fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to recognize that hurts. Okay, let's back off a little bit and let the bone heal itself, take
sure.
care of it, and it will build stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But the shin splints and the foot pain and all this stuff is very real, particularly early on. So shoes are important, keeping them fresh. What you run on.
Mm.
Concrete is really hard, and you're better off on asphalt or grass, particularly early on while your bones are building to the
okay.
new stress level.
Hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah, you get less injuries.
Hmm.
And when we had the Kenyans coming to Mobile to run
yeah.
Zaya Trail
yeah.
Run, we would keep them at our house and we would take them for training runs. And we'd go to Cottage Hill Park or Medal of Honor Park now. Mm. And we'd be running the sidewalk, and they'd be running in the grass.
Wow.
And it's what they're used to,
yeah.
and it's actually better for them.
Mm.
And better for us, too,
yeah.
honestly, except for tripping.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
But it's a better surface.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hmm. Speaking of fresh shoes, mm-hmm. what shoes do you run in?
I run in Brooks Adrenaline.
Mm, okay.
Switched to those fairly early on. I was, like I said, had a stress injury.
Mm-hmm.
They did not, I think it was Pat Hilliard told me to go to Run and Try, which was not here now.
Okay.
They had one in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to a meeting in New Orleans. So I stopped by and I ran on their treadmill for at least an hour in different shoes.
Wow.
And ended up getting the first pair they put me in, which was Brooks Adrenaline. And have loved them almost always
mm.
since.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, they changed them. And I was in a routine of buying 4 pair a year. I'd buy 2 pair and alternate them. And 6 months later, I'd buy 2 more pair
okay.
and alternate those. I went and bought 2 pair, put them on, started running. What did they do to my shoe? Mm. This is wrong.
Mm.
And stopped running. And we ended up, took them home, looked at them, and they, I mean, it was, looking at the outside was really hard to tell.
Okay.
But clearly different.
Mm.
Took the 1 pair back, sold the other for half price, went to Run and Try, which was now in Mobile, mm-hmm. and thought, okay, they've changed my shoe, I'm going to find something else. Ran with a bunch of shoes there, bought a pair, ran 1 mile, that's not going to work.
Mm.
And I thought, all right, get smart. They just changed the shoe. I went online, and I ordered 23 pair. I ordered every one of the last year model
wow.
in my size mm. I could find. And I put them in my guest bedroom in the boxes in a nice, cool place and hoped the bottoms didn't fall off of them when I started running. And I worked through those through 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
A little at a time, because I thought, mm. I can't find another shoe that works for me.
Yeah.
And they did change them. Apparently, mm. they got a lot of bad feedback that 1 year.
Yeah.
And now they've actually gone to something I like even better.
Mm.
So there we're back with Brooks Adrenaline.
There we go.
Now, I do change out the insert, because I got a foot that's dropped a little bit.
Mm.
And I like the Atrix inserts.
Okay.
Which Run and Try sells.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm get there online.
Very nice. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Yeah.
And that's my go-to shoe.
Mm.
By mistake, accidentally figured out that some sandals I had bought was also that brand
oh,
of shoe.
Okay.
And that's what I've got on my feet right now. They're not running shoes.
Yeah.
So my inserts are the same as my shoes. They fit my arch.
Oh,
but again,
cool.
You've got to get what fits your foot.
Mm.
Yeah. What's made for you.
Oh, that's so good. I get asked that question all the time when people be like, what are you running? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Because what I run in is going to be different. Now, after talking with different runners, I'll be like, oh, yeah, you run in Brooks? Cool. Like, I like to know what people run in.
Yeah.
But anytime anybody's new, I'm like, go get fitted. We have 3 great running stores.
Right.
Go pick one.
Yes.
And go get fitted.
Go get fitted.
And go try on shoes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And I send people all the time
yeah.
to them out of my office, mm-hmm. even not runners.
Yeah.
To they may be
good.
Walkers
yeah.
or they may have a foot problem that doesn't really need a custom fix.
Yeah.
And I will send them to these guys to mm-hmm. make sure they get the right fit for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. That's amazing. When you were listening to music, what were your running jams?
Oh, it's rock and roll. It's mostly 70s,
okay.
some 60s, some
mm-hmm.
80s.
Mm.
I had Holiday by Green Day in there twice, once to get me started and once to pull me through
oh,
about mile
okay.
2.5. And actually, I am running with music again.
Okay.
As of 2 weeks before Houston Marathon a year ago.
Okay.
And Steve Platkus come out to Bluebell Running, and he had on the Shocks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nice thing about Shocks is you can hear your music.
Yeah.
And you can hear the people around you so they won't make you cuss.
So you won't hear Maureen coming up behind
me. Right, I'll hear Maureen coming up behind me. And cars.
Mm, that's right.
And I can hear it and converse mm-hmm. if I want to. But I still have the music in background, or mm-hmm. if I really want to get cranked up a little more, that's fine. I do like running to music.
Mm-hmm.
I like the music. But I can still hear the birds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mix. A
oh,
good,
absolutely.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really think that's what pulled me through the Houston Marathon, because it was so hot that day. And you know, a lot of people did not. I didn't meet the time I wanted, but a lot of people really didn't meet the time they wanted. And I think it was the heat, and I just got tuned into the music and said,
yeah.
just forget about the rest of this.
Right.
Just listen to the music, run.
That's breathe. Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Enjoy the music. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's all rock and roll.
That's amazing. Let's talk about recovery tools. Do you have one that you like?
Yes. What's it called? I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget that. It's the little vice grip thing that's got the roller skating wheels on it.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's Run Recovery.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the big old thing. It's like hard to like pull apart,
yes.
isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love running that on my legs.
Do you really?
Well, no, it's a love hate. Yeah, okay. Obviously. I was like, yeah. No.
Thing's a monster.
And there are times where I'll put it on and I will keep some tension so it's not quite as tight.
Oh, okay.
And run
it
up and down my leg at first. Mm-hmm. And then as the muscle relaxes, you can start letting go.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my go-to. Mm-hmm. And I can tell or gauge when I'm starting to have a little bit of muscle problem if it really feels tight. So sometimes I'll put it on and I can just run it up and down my leg and I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, you're good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Cross-training activity. Do you have one?
I bike a little.
Okay.
But not much. Mm-hmm. Mostly when it's too hot to run. When it was 101 degrees, I'd go out there and bike around the people that were running and go, y'all are crazy. I'm like, this is miserable. Mm. I've got a pool, so I'll swim some.
Okay.
But I really would do better if I got into a real lap pool. Mm-hmm. Although, I have found that when I'm swimming back and forth in my pool, I'm always swimming upstream because it's too short. I've got my current against it.
Oh, okay.
Every time.
Okay.
So it's okay. Mm-hmm. But I don't really work at it.
Okay.
I have basically a gym at my house. Mm. I'm not great about using it. Mm-hmm. I do some. I'm not sure what it's called, honestly. I've heard it called a Roman chair, but I'm not sure that's really what it is. It's a platform that has a place you can sit and then hook your legs under so you can lean back and do basically crunches.
Oh, okay.
Or you can turn over and you can do back extensions. Mm-hmm. And then it's got a couple of posts that stick out so I can do some arm presses. Mm-hmm. And then it just on the platform, I'll do some toe lifts. And then I tie some bands to it. Mm-hmm. And I will do some internal and external rotation that also helps your core.
Sure, yeah.
So a lot of this is done for core. Mm-hmm. And I should be better at it. And these are there's so many things I can do to be better. But again, it's all supposed to be fun. If it becomes too much work, then you're like, oh, really? This is all work.
So. I love that. Okay. Is there a race that you're like, I don't think I ever want to do that one again?
There's probably been some that I felt like that at the end of it.
Okay.
But a lot of it's just weather dependent.
That's true.
Before I had my thyroid out, I always thought that heat was my friend because it didn't affect me quite as much as it affected everybody else.
Really? Okay.
So I was almost a little bit of an advantage to me if there was somebody I was close to in beating. They might poop out a little faster than I did. But I don't feel that edge quite as much. And I don't know if it's the surgery or if it's just age. And it very well could be just I'm getting older, which is fine.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to hate it or give it up.
Sure.
I still, you know, you run a race, you feel reasonably good about yourself. And you do have to learn as you get older. There is no way, even if I did all of the things, I ate perfect, I didn't drink any wine at night, I did all this cross training, I'm probably not going to match these times that I did 10 years ago. That's just reality of life. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have to compete against the 55-year-olds for Boston. Because you can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I shouldn't say you can't do it. I just read... There is a woman from Japan, and I know I bring her up a lot. We've been running a lot together in the last few months, and for years, but a lot the last few months with this marathon training. But she showed me the Abbott World site shows your marathon times. Mm-hmm. And she showed me where I was in it. I thought, oh, that's cool. That's nice. Well, I check it every now and then, and there's a lady that ran in my age group. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's at least 65. Ran a 3-hour and 6-minute marathon.
Wow.
And I thought, that's got to be a mistake. Of course, you know. I mean,
wow.
And so I looked her up. Mm-hmm. I Googled her. And she did do it. And she actually, in her 60s, broke a 3-hour marathon.
Wow.
So she's a phenom.
Yeah.
But she's got records from her high school days. Mm. And she's a PE coach, so she runs with the girls too.
Wow.
So she's got a lot of opportunity, yeah, and a lot of base, mm-hmm, huge amount of base. I read her story, and I wish I could think of her name. I can't, sad. But, I mean, she quit running for a good while, raised four kids, but came back. And that was her goal. You're talking about setting goals. Her goal was to break 3 hours. And so she set the goal, and she did it. And I'm sitting there looking at that going, no, I ain't got the, I just won't make myself work that's that nice. Hard.
I'm not even done with a half marathon at that point. Wow. I really want to get your perspective on this. What is advice that you would give to somebody that wants to start running, walking, not only from your perspective, but also from a professional perspective, just because you have seen overuse injuries?
Yeah. One, good shoes, mm-hmm, okay? And don't start up too fast. It does take time. And if you feel that you're overdoing it, back off. Mm. All right, so you can overdo it both with your body. You can overdo it mentally too, mm, where it's not fun.
Yeah.
And then you need to back off. But I can tell you, the thing that makes it the most fun, and I do this for fun, all right? So I did stand in a race early on, and right before the gun went off, I asked the friend I was standing by, I said, tell me again why we're doing this. And everybody laughed. But get with a group or a friend, mm-hmm, okay? Not just alone. Mm-hmm. Some people do like running alone, and that's fine. If that's their thing, then mm-hmm, that's okay. But being with the groups I was with, I learned a lot of stuff. It encouraged me to work a little harder. It's hard to do sprints by yourself.
Sure.
It's fun to do sprints when you get to the end and start laughing. You're all standing there gasping with your hands on your knees and laughing about how much faster the Olympians are than you. You know? So you do get faster. You do get better. You get some rewards in that you can do better than that. Mm. And you did. Mm. All right, so set whatever you want to do. Mm. Unless you're going to the Olympics, don't make it so that it's not fun. Mm. It should be fun. That's the thing I remember most, is we would laugh. We would do these drills. We used to, Victor would always come with a plan. Mm-hmm. And we'd be all lined up down there at Blue Bell across the street. And we're going to run a 100 or a 200 or mm-hmm, whatever that distance was. And he would tell different people to say, go. And usually you go, 1, 2, 3, go. I would always be more towards the end of the bunch. I'm a little older than most of them. But somewhere to them. So, but to give me an advantage, I would just say, go and run. And he's like, what? But I'm already gone.
That's
right. You know?
That's adorable.
Sometimes it would be one go. You know?
You're like, I won, yay!
Yeah, no, he'd catch me. They'd all catch me.
That's fantastic.
But it was just things to make you laugh. Mm, and yeah, that was the stuff. We're still dealing with the Victor loss.
Yeah, yeah.
But just so much fun, so many laughs. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of group text, mm, and would have a lot of banter, and a lot of it would be kidding each other, and some racing, some not racing, mm-hmm, but just being with a group that makes it fun, mm, that makes the training fun, that you enjoy the people. And if the weather was good, we'd finish our training and we would sit down and have a beer, mm, and just talk and chit chat about life. Then we'd all go home.
Yeah.
It was a lot of good. Mm. It still is.
Yeah.
Still is. The group, mm-hmm, has grown hugely so that I don't even know all the people, unfortunately.
I love being an honorary member. That's how I feel. The fact that I get to wear a jersey is a huge enough deal for me, but I love it. I keep saying one day I'm going to make it out there.
You need to come. Mm-hmm. We used to have a rule that you could not be on the team unless you trained, mm, with us. Mm-hmm. And it was more to keep it fair.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Victor this was the counter Victor. He was bad about just signing people out, like, they have to come train with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they got to be family.
So now you're guilty me into it. Now you're like, you got the jersey, you have to come to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
And we used to have, we'd have Christmas parties, mm-hmm, just at my house, because, mm-hmm, we were a small enough bunch, we could do that.
And now it's at Azteca's, and it's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And so it's still good. Fun, though.
It's still
so
good.
Fun.
It's evolution, mm-hmm, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully everybody will get to know each other better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was probably one of the highlights of December for me.
Good.
Was that Christmas party. Like, yeah. It was just, everyone was just so laid back, and the gifts were so fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just a good time to be together.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, you guys are amazing. Yeah. Besides qualifying for Boston, mm-hmm. other goals that you may have?
Yeah, the goals. Heck, you keep getting goals that you didn't even know existed.
Ooh, okay.
All right, mm-hmm. so there was her in Boston. You ever heard of the Big Six?
The Big Six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. All right. Six marathons.
Okay.
I didn't know about them until this year.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What's the Big Six?
Okay. So it's Boston.
Okay.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Berlin. London. And Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. It's okay, the World Marathon. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where you get the huge medal and the individuals.
And supposedly possibly Sydney. I don't know how, where they are into
Sydney's
that.
Sydney's a different thing.
They were thinking, because you can get, technically it would be 6 stars is what you get. But now there was a bid. I don't know how long it takes. I don't know when they'll decide about Sydney becoming a 7th star or whatever. But yeah.
That may be.
Hmm. But I didn't realize it was called Big Six.
I think it, I may be wrong.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go do all of?
It's a thought.
You go, girl.
It's a thought.
Hmm.
We'll see. It, you know, everything.
You better wear that medal everywhere you go when you get all 6.
I don't think
you
can hold it.
That's right. Wow, because Tokyo's this weekend. It's Tokyo.
Obviously, we won't be there.
Right.
No, I've got one qualify for Boston. It's first to see if I did. Should be. Should.
Okay.
If they don't, I'm like, oh, God, okay, this is what I'm meant to be. And I also have kids that are close to childbearing age. This may all change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to whatever, but if they need child care and my running days change to pushing a stroller, then I'll push a stroller. It's
How
okay.
How fun, though.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
It would be fine. I'll keep pushing to do whatever gets put in my path.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you've talked so much about running evolving for you, and now that's just another
step.
Another.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Life throws all kind of stuff at you. You have to adapt.
Yeah.
Still got to keep it fun.
Mm.
And the running, you're talking about things you learn, is that perseverance, the succeeding, to
mm-hmm.
put your mind to a goal. And obviously have to make it a reasonable goal. I don't think it would be reasonable for me to say I'm going to beat the woman at a 3:06 marathon.
I believe in you.
No. No. I already want to do that kind of work. She can have it.
You're so funny. You're like, no, I'm good. What is your favorite length to run? Whether it's a race or whether it's a training run, what is a certain mileage that gets you excited?
I don't know. 10 mile is our base.
Okay.
And so that's something that we'll frequently run and talk and just enjoy the company. And you're still getting a really good workout. Right? They enjoy those 10 mile runs.
Okay. It's a good.
They're good.
Yeah.
If you're the races, the 5Ks, I used to really like the 5Ks. They were fun. And I just can't run them as well as I used to.
Mm.
So that's a little bit frustrating. I still don't mind running them. Mm-hmm. When I used to, I broke 24 minutes one time, and now I'm like, okay, I just want to break 30. So that's 2 minutes per mile slower. That's just almost.
Wow.
But it is what it is. But you still... I don't generally go home unhappy. I know that if I said, okay, I'm going to quit training long and I'm going to focus on training for 5Ks,
mm-hmm.
I could do better. I can do better at this, right? But it's hard to train for both.
Sure.
And be good at both.
Mm.
They're totally different races.
Sure.
And so that doesn't mean I'm gonna run the 5K this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it may be ugly, mm-hmm. but it is what it is, and I'll still have fun.
Wow. When you're not running, what are you passionate about?
Oh, I love the beach,
and
not the sandy beach, the backwater.
Okay.
I like boats. Boats. I'm happiest in a boat.
Are you really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I grew up. My dad offshore fished.
Okay.
In my childhood.
Mm.
So his idea of a good weekend was to be 100 miles offshore at daybreak Saturday, and we didn't come home till Sunday.
Oh, okay.
We fished. Mm. I love being in a boat in the Gulf, but also I've got a little pedal kayak that I keep at my place in Orange Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because you can just sit back and pedal and steer with one hand. You drink your beer with the other. And we have the dolphin that come around the pier so I can go out there and roll with the waves that the boats are creating and follow them around and just enjoy the day.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That was great.
Oh.
And I'm getting a little exercise.
Yeah.
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 Both bicep curl and the legs.
That's right. That's right.
Any final words of wisdom, my friend?
Running is not, as some people say, everybody else's punishment to everybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It can be fun.
It can be, yeah.
It can be fun. And runners are absolutely the best people.
Mm-hmm.
Shaw Finn. You know Shaw Finn?
I don't know.
Okay. She's with the Bay Area Runners.
Okay.
I've known her for years. She was, in like Hawaii or somewhere, not anywhere close. And she wanted to buy something, but the vendor at the race didn't take whatever means of payment she had. And the lady looked at her and said, "Are you a runner?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Do you cut corners when you're training?" She said, "Oh, no." She said, "I'm going to let you take it with you and here to send me this when you get home."
Wow.
That being a runner that doesn't cut corners just makes you just tend to be trustworthy people.
Mm.
And she got home and she sent her the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And I find that in general is true.
Mm-hmm.
They are wonderful people. They're a lot of fun. They are determined.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's a good way of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With good people.
With good people. Yeah, and they'll keep propping you up.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're down, they prop you up.
Mm.
They'll help encourage you to do your best at any age. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
So we've got, right now with the Bluebell, we've had 6-year-olds.
Wow.
Oh, Stone Smith. Did you know Stone?
The name sounds familiar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to tell that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead.
I'm running pretty well, 24-minute 5Ks.
That's amazing.
Again, got up in the morning and said, "Oh, let's go run this race over here at South." It was Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And went and registered. And they have a crowd of kids up in the front. Always do. And they usually run the first two turns and then they stop.
Okay.
Right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that's coming.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But we start running and most of the kids had stopped. And there's this one little kid that is terribly overdressed. I am in, it's cold, but okay. I'm in shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He is in long wind pants. He's got a long sleeve cotton shirt with a short sleeve cotton shirt on top of it.
Mm.
His shoes don't look like they're tied very well, and he's got a wool toboggan on his head. Mom obviously dressed him to keep him warm. And I'm behind him, but I'm making sure I can sidestep him when he stops. But he doesn't.
Mm.
He keeps running. And he keeps running at a steady pace. And we get maybe a little more than a quarter mile from the finish. And he slowed up a little bit. And I was really running competitively for me at that time. Mm-hmm. I was trying to hit a time. And so I started to go around him to the left. And he looked to the left, and it made him veer a little bit to the left. So I backed off, and I tried to go around to the right, and he did the same thing to the right. And I said, "Run straight, or you'll knock me down."
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. And I went around him, and I beat him by a few seconds, and not much.
Mm-hmm.
And he's little. And I saw him with his family at the end of the race, and then the gathering. And I went over, and I asked his dad, I said, "Do you have any idea what he just did?" His dad said, "No, I started with him at the finish, but he left me behind." And I told him, I said, "Kids his age don't pace like this. He paced beautifully."
Mm-hmm.
And I barely beat him. And he's way overdressed. and he was 5 or 6, I can't remember. And it was his first 5K ever.
Wow.
Wow. He had been running at school, and the people at the school said, "You need to put him in a 5K.
Mm.
And so he did. We ended up talking with them, and I don't know if I invited them immediately there, but they did other races and had him come to Bluebell. And I said, "I don't know enough to really teach him, but Victor and some of these other guys that have really run a lot can help him be better. And he did Junior Olympics.
Wow.
And he's running for Ole Miss right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he, yeah, that was one of two times I've beat him ever, and the other time he had a whooping cough.
I love that.
He's great.
I love that because it's so much of what you've talked about, and that is how great this community really is.
Yeah.
And they come along and they push you and encourage you.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, mm-hmm. there's help out there. They mm-hmm. will help you. They'll want you to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've touched on a whole lot of people, but that's because a whole lot of people have been a positive influence
sure.
on me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I say it all the time, is that we have the best running community ever.
Yeah.
It's just so full of genuine people that, like you said, they cheer each other on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
yeah, you may be competing against one another, but like you and Maureen, like you guys may be competing against one another, but really yeah. you guys are so fun when I catch you on a Saturday morning together.
Yeah.
You know, and y'all were taking a break. We're just starting. But it was just so fun to see that friendship and to see you guys help each other out. Like, I love that. And
yeah.
that's what I love about our running community.
Yeah. It just come out and help. But a lot of times it's hard to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we may not be training for exactly the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but we can always do part of it.
Yeah.
One time we had Leah Jarrell, this was her first marathon, was the Louisiana.
Okay.
And she was doing a different training program than we were doing. She had 20 miles to run that day. The first time ever for her to run 20 miles.
Mm.
And she was doing a different program than anybody, so nobody else was doing 20.
Sure.
Maureen and I broke it up. We each had to run 10 that day. She ran the first 10 with her. I ran the second 10 with her.
I love
that. Just to get a company,
sure.
to make it easier.
And, 20 miles is excruciating.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
To do it by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do that. We're not going to make you do that.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm. So just friends helping friends.
Yeah.
And if you get anywhere involved in a group,
mm-hmm.
you'll have friends out there to help you out.
I love
it's good.
Thank you, my friends, for finally saying yes to this and sharing your incredible story and incredible insight. It has been such a true honor and a joy.
Well, good.
So, thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Suanne, for your incredible story and just so impactful. And even as you finish it, you said, you know, your friends will help you get there. And that is so true. I mean, I absolutely love that. I love your heart for the community. I love your heart for people. And it's just absolutely incredible and truly thankful for you and what you're doing in our community, both in the running world and orthopedic world. You are just absolutely phenomenal. And I thank the world of you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Finally, thank you for not running away from me this time. I love you, my friend. You are just an extraordinary individual and so thankful for you. And thank you again to Victory Health Partners. Guys, go check them out on social media, on their website, see how you can get involved. Just would love more people to come hang out with us at Victory. There's a place for everyone everywhere. So would love that. And as always, Greg Gilliard, thank you so much from Gilliard Tech Services for making the podcast sound so great and also keeping up to date with our website. He does such an incredible job with that and just so grateful for what he does. And he does way more than what I could do. And so I love that and appreciate that about Greg. You guys can also check him out at Gilliard Tech Services. The man has been very busy with building websites and freshening up new ones. But he's always happy to make time for anyone. So definitely get up with him and he can help you see really cool things. I don't know how he does it, but he has been doing some really cool websites lately. And I mean, I walk in and I'm like, wow, that is really cool. So definitely check him out. He would love to sit down with you and chat and get your vision and help direct you in your path. It'd be absolutely cool. And as always, Mars Hill, thank you so much for believing in Run Your Story and allowing us to share our stories with one another. And giving us such a safe place to be able to do that. Mars Hill believes in the running community and truly grateful for what they do within our own community. So thank you again to Mars Hill. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys rock. Absolutely love you. Think the world of you. And I wish I could do more for you. I can't wait to the day I can do more for you guys. And so definitely join the Patreon community, guys. There's different levels that you can join. And it's such a fun group to be a part of. And I can't wait to see it grow. I've got ideas. So we'll see.
But thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. They cover the cost of everything when it comes to the software that Gray uses, and it does cost to put on a podcast monthly, so that's not how to come out of our own pockets. And so again, we are very grateful to our Patreon supporters. They are amazing, and they're the reason why this podcast keeps going. So thank you to our Patreon supporters. And they're going to want you to like, share, and comment Sue Ann's story. They're going to want that. They ask me that all the time. So you guys do that. Make sure that you share these podcasts and these stories, because they are so incredible. So, and thank you guys for listening. You guys are the reason why we do this, because we know that your stories are impacting one another. We know that your stories matter, and you never know whose story is going to make such an impact on someone else's life. And I know that I'm better each time that I sit down with you and hear your stories, because I'm like, wow, that person's absolutely phenomenal, and I want to be like them. So thank you so much for making me hopefully a better person, and hopefully I'm doing a better job for you guys. So again, thank you so much to Sue Ann and to all of you guys for sharing your stories. So until next time, go run your story, because every story needs to be heard.